Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at principles from the Word of God that enlarge our capacity to receive from God. Principle number one is that we need to cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Glory to God. Woo! When we are grateful and appreciate what God has given to us, then it enlarges us and makes Him want to give us more. Principle number two from last week was that we can position ourselves to receive more from God by honoring and placing a high value on the things that God says and does. Brother Hagin, our father in the faith, said often, if we want to see the greater moves of the Holy Spirit, we have to learn to reverence Him. We must learn the honor of God. We must learn to honor the Holy Ghost and honor the anointing. Otherwise, he said, there will be limitations on how much He'll manifest Himself to us. I tell you, you know, I think what we did tonight was honor Him. You know, sometimes people think, honor means we sit and look pious. No, honor means jumping in with whatever God's doing. When God's moving, you jumping right in the middle of the flow, I tell you, that's honoring Him. I don't understand what is wrong with our nation right now. We got kids killing kids in school, and they're telling us it's okay to throw a prayer up, but don't you dare expect an answer. They're dogging people for thinking that God would put something on their heart or speak something to them. If there was ever a time when we needed to hear from God, it's the day and age in which we live. You need to hear from God every single day, where to be, where not to be, what to do, where to put your kids, where not to put your kids. What in the world is the matter with our nation? Good night. Anyway, 1 Samuel 2:30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house, speaking of Eli, the priest, and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I just want to go on the record tonight as saying, I, Pastor Rhonda Garver, right here in Madison, Alabama, I honor God. I honor His word. I honor the precious things. And He does speak to people's heart. He does, and I honor that. I am so grateful for that inward witness, for the knowing of where to be and what to do. Without that, we would not still be here physically. How many accidents has God spared us from? I could stand here and recount the rest of the night how many things He's kept us out of, accidents and wrecks, just by that inward witness, knowing to change lanes, knowing to go another way, knowing where to be and what to do in every circumstance. I'm not ashamed to say I got the inward witness. The Holy Ghost leads us and guides us, and I am not ashamed to say it. Just say it. To honor is to give someone in their words and actions the highest value and worth. So when you honor God in that way, He honors you in return. Now, despise can mean to hate or to have an aversion to, but another meaning of the word despise is to make light of, to disesteem, to regard as insignificant, or to make nothing of. In other words, if you treat God and His words and the movement of His Spirit as insignificant, He will treat you as insignificant in return. We talked last week about how this has to do with discretion and discernment. It has to do with knowing what's valuable and precious and what's worthless. And we looked last week at the biblical example that Jesus gave. He said, don't give what is precious to the dogs. And don't throw your pearls before swine. Now, He wasn't just calling people names. He was saying those animals lack discretion. So don't give them precious things. And how many of you know some people lack discretion? They don't understand the precious things of God. You know, they don't understand why we would come together on a Wednesday night. Glory to God. Woo! They don't understand why we read our Bible every day. They don't understand why we pray and talk to God and we have that inward witness on the inside that God talks back to us. So if they don't understand, then fine. They can just doubt and do without. But as for me, I'm going to believe and I'm going to receive. Glory to God. It is far too late to tell me my God doesn't heal. I have seen him do it too many times. It is far too late to tell me my God can't guide me by his spirit. He's done it 1,000 times. Kept me out of trouble here and there. Glory to God. It is too late. It's too late to tell me I can't exercise authority and win. We have and we will and we are. When someone appreciates and honors him and his word and his presence, he keeps enlarging them so he can give them more. He likes it when you like his stuff. This is a good example, Valentine's Day. Glory to God. How many of you know sometimes, guys, it's not the huge expressions of love that mean the most to us women. It's the little things of the heart. That little gift you give that says, I paid attention when you talked. I know you. I know what's important to you. You know, I heard Reverend Ray Gene Wilson said he wanted to give his wife a gift. And he said, darling, I can buy you this really expensive diamond ring. Or I can buy you a motorcycle. And guess which one she took? The motorcycle. Glory to God. You know, one of the best gifts I ever got in my life was a half-used tin of Hungarian paprika. I was in my gourmet cooking phase, and it was really short, and I'm sorry you missed it, honey. It was a really short phase of my life. Sadly, pre-Pastor Mark. But I was really into it, and I was, you know, baking bread from scratch, and I was, you know, taking gourmet cooking classes, and you know, I was really into it, and I looked everywhere for Hungarian paprika, a certain kind of Hungarian paprika. Couldn't find it anywhere. It was before the days of Amazon and the internet, right? So my mom went to dinner at somebody's house and noticed on their shelf a half-used bottle of Hungarian paprika. And she bought it off of them and brought it to me, a half-used, dinged-up tin of a metal, you know, thing of Hungarian paprika. But it was precious to me because it meant something to me. And not only that, she listened and she knew what was important to me in that moment. Now listen, when you pay attention to God that way, he feels that same way. What he says is important, we need to esteem as important. What he says is valuable, we need to esteem as valuable. How many of you know that doesn't take long? If God comes to you, yes, I said it. If he comes to you and says, on the inward witness, I said it. If he comes to you and says, I don't like that. Our response ought to be, you know what, sir, I don't like that either. It shouldn't take us long, right? You can change it just like that. What he likes, I like. If he comes to me and he says, Rhonda, I really appreciate that. I say, thank you, sir. I'll do that even more. Why? Because he's valuable to me. He's precious to me. My wonderful husband, and he really is a good man. He's so precious to me. What he values and thinks is important, I want to value and think as important and get for him and meet him where he's at. Why? Because he's important to me and he's valuable and he's precious to me. Next to my own relationship with God, he's the greatest gift God ever gave me. And I mean that sincerely. He's a really good man. And because of that, I honor him. And I want to do what pleases him. Well, how much more God? How much more God? Now listen, if he ever did anything wrong, I'd turn his butt in so fast. His hair curl, and he knows it. So I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. Don't anybody who might be listening at home twist my words. I tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God as a lifestyle. Anyway, I digress. But when you appreciate the things of God, he appreciates that you appreciate it. Then you get in this kind of thing where you're trying to outgive each other. So you give to God what's important to him, and then he turns around and gives to you what's important to you. And you give to God what's important to him, and he turns around and gives to you what's important to you. And you give to God what's important to him, and he turns around and gives back to you what's important to you. Oh my goodness, the things the Lord has done for me. The things the Lord has done. You know, we in our little starter house, we had a little starter house. And it was made on a cotton field, and there was no trees at all. And I'm a big nature person, and I love trees and animals. And, you know, I'm just a real big nature person. And so I was standing in my backyard, and I didn't even say it out loud. I said, Lord, I'd really like a great big tree back here. I wish I had a great big tree in my backyard, a big old shade tree. I didn't even say it out loud. The next week, a man from our church, he came to me and he said, Pastor Rhonda, you're going to think I'm crazy. He said, I was praying and the Lord told me to buy you a tree and put it in your backyard. He said, Am I crazy? I was so touched because God heard me. And because I do what's pleasing to him, he tries to give back to me what's important to me. So he bought the biggest oak tree he could find, and he put it in my backyard. And the people who live there now can thank me because it's grown up now and they have the shade that I so longed for. But my point is, you know, God does extraordinary things for us. And so, you know, Pastor Mark and I, we didn't really ever date. I don't know what we did. We got to know each other while we ministered together, and it was just, anyway, we had an unusual courtship, but where was I going with that? Oh, I remember. He had his blue car, Betsy, and Betsy, you know, the paint was peeling off Betsy, and you know, she was showing some wear and tear, and but we really loved Betsy, and you know, Betsy was the first car I ever rode in with Pastor Mark, and one night we were riding around town, driving around talking, and you know, it's the first time he held my hand, and you know how girls are about that stuff, and so, you know, Betsy had a special place in my heart, because that's kind of where I got to know Pastor Mark in his heart, you know, and so the day came when we sold Betsy, traded her in for Max. And so we would drive by the car lot where we traded Betsy. And I would say to Pastor Mark, "Aw, there's Betsy. Don't you miss Betsy?" And he's like, "Uh-uh." And I was like, "Aw, honey, that's, you know, that's, we rode around in that car and you held my hand for the first time in that car. And, you know, it's Betsy." And for you know what, somebody said, "Pastor Rhonda, Lord told me to buy your old car back and give it to you." Somebody bought Betsy back because I commented on her every time we went by the parking lot. So when we first got married, we lived on one of the worst streets here in the city of Madison. We lived in kind of a rundown neighborhood. And matter of fact, back when we used to have local newspapers, you know, there was like 5 crimes in the city of Madison and 3 of them were on our street. You know, it was that kind of a place, but we were in love and we were living on love and it was our apartment and, you know, gosh. And so we drove by one day and I was like, "Oh, honey." And he said, "Don't. Just be quiet." That's a true story. He didn't want to go back there. Huh? I still don't. I was standing on my back deck one day and fellowshipping with the Lord, and Now we have trees. Glory to God. The house we have, we started out with 57 mature trees in our yard. Glory to God. Yeah, that's a lot of leaves. But come fall. Anyway, we've lost a few here and there. I don't know what we're down to now, but we have a lot of mature trees in our yard, and we back up to a nature preserve. And so the animals, the deers come, and honestly, cars stop all the time out front of our house because the deer even come in the front yard because we have the fescue grass that you have to work real hard to keep, but it stays green in the winter, and so the deer come and they eat our grass. And so, we're like the nature show of the whole neighborhood. And so people literally, you know, drive by, and the deers are even in our front yard out by the street. So I love it, you know, because I'm really a nature person. So I was standing on my back deck looking out over the trees, looking out into the nature preserve, and just thanking God for everything, for his love, for his goodness. I was just ministering to him. And I noticed my daughter's, what do you call those things? It's like a swing set that has like a fort thing on it, you know, a play set in the backyard. She was really little then. And I noticed it in the back of the yard, and the Lord said to me, "Do you remember?" And I said, "No." And all of a sudden, I had a flash. I was about 6 years old, standing on the back deck of my uncle and aunt's home in Georgia, and I was looking out at a fort that their kids had built in a tree on the back of their property. And I said in my heart, "Lord, I wish I had a yard and a tree like this." He said, "I heard you." I was like six. And he said, "I remembered." He arranged that house for me. Listen, when you love somebody, you want to do what pleases them, what ministers to their heart. And the more you do that for God, and the more you honor him, and the more you do what he says and live by his principles and live by the word of God and do what is pleasing in his sight, then the more it makes him want to do for you in return. We've come home from vacation a number of times because people needed us for one reason or another here. The church people needed us. Because of that, we've taken supernatural vacations. People have given us supernatural vacations. How many of you know God will try to outgive you when you give to him? When your ways are pleasing to him, he'll try. You can get in this cycle where you do for him, and then he'll do something cool for you, and then you do stuff for him, and then he does cool stuff for you, and you do stuff for him, and he does cool stuff for you. It's like a marriage. It's like a relationship. I mean, it's almost like he's real. I'm just kidding. We know he's real. When you esteem his things and count as precious what he counts as precious, then he goes out of his way to do for you what is precious to you. That was all free. There ain't a bit of that in my notes. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Here in this verse of scripture, we see another great key to enlarging our capacity to receive from God. Every time you hear the word of God, do you want it to work effectually in you? Do you want it to bring forth a harvest in your life and through you? If it's the word of God and you know the Holy Spirit is involved, bearing witness with your spirit, then you need to open up your heart and say, "That is God talking to me." I dare you, double dog dare you, to come to church saying, every time saying, God, I'm expecting to hear from you. I believe you are going to speak to me this Wednesday night. Yeah, it's that blonde lady up there who's yipping and yapping, but God, beyond her, I expect to hear from you tonight. I expect to receive from your spirit. I expect there to be something that will answer the questions of my heart or that will minister to me in some way. Lord, I'm expecting from you. I tell you, when you come in with that kind of hunger, he'll rearrange a whole service to get you what you need. Pastor will go off on rabbit trails and won't even know why he did, but he'll talk right to your situation. He'll call a prayer line if you got pain in your body. God will meet you when you come in with expectation. God honors that kind of hunger and will go out of his way to meet you. If you just make that little adjustment, revelation will begin to flow to you like water. You're going to hear things you never heard before. Understanding is going to come. Glory to God. We already looked at what God said to Eli the priest in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, about honoring God. But I want to talk about that just a minute. The Bible says the sons of Eli the priest were sons of Belial, or sons of the devil. Isn't it interesting that faith in God isn't genetically passed down? And isn't it even more interesting how people can be in the presence of faith and in the company of those who honor God and yet be destitute of it themselves? What is my point? Coming into this church, even sitting among us, is not going to position you to receive more from God. What's going to position you to receive more from God is when you begin to honor, when you begin to reverence, when you begin to live by, when you come in with expectation, when it becomes about you and God. When you honor him and you reverence him and you're hungry for him, he'll meet you exactly where you're at. Just coming into this room isn't going to change your life. But you changing your heart towards him will change everything. This year at the church, last year actually, 2017, we as a church staff prayed over all of you who are on our mailing list by name. At least, I think we went through the list twice, right? I think we went through the list twice, prayed for you twice. This is what we prayed for you, Philippians 1, 9. And this we prayed for you, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. That your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. Verse 10. So that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value. How many of you know there's a lot of stuff in our life that has no excellence and no real value to it at all? We want you to be able to clearly discern what is precious and holy and worth giving your life and attention to, and what is not. Recognizing the highest and the best, and distinguishing the moral differences, that you may be untainted and pure, unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. May you abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing, which come through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to the honor and praise of God, that his glory may be both manifested and recognized. Go back to verse 9. This we prayed, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. That your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. That's what we want you to have, a greater depth of acquaintance with him. After we prayed this over you, we would lay hands on your picture and we would pray for you, asking God to do this for you in your life. Asking him to draw you in where you can come to know him in greater ways than you ever have before. That's what we prayed for you, this whole portion of scripture. It reminds me of what Paul said later in Philippians 3:4. Though for myself, I have at least grounds to rely on the flesh. If any other man considers that he has or seems to have reason to rely on the flesh and his physical and outward advantages, I have still more. Circumcised when I was 8 days old. He's giving us his resume, his pedigree. Circumcised when I was 8 days old, of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew and the son of Hebrews. As to the observance of the law, I was of the party of the Pharisees. As to my zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. And by the law standard of righteousness, supposed justice, uprightness, and right standing with God, I was proven to be blameless, and no fault was found with me. But, whatever former things I had that might have been gained to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, further, I count everything as loss compared to the possession. Listen to this. Paul's saying, according to the religious traditions of my religion, I did it all right. I was zealous. I lived right. I did right. I did the best I could, always under all circumstances. But he said, I count it all as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. Let's skip to the end of the parentheses for a minute, of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. How many of you know that is a priceless privilege to know him? Not just know about him, but to know him. Oh, his presence is so sweet. His fellowship so wonderful. It is a priceless privilege. Paul, the great Jewish leader, he said, I count everything as loss for the possession of this priceless privilege of knowing Christ. The overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, and dregs, in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One. Let's, glory to God, I want you to know, Paul, everything he said that I used to count as gain, I now count as loss in comparison to the wonder of knowing him, of counting him precious and valuable. What an honor to know him. Who am I that the King of the universe would know my name, would care about me? With all that's going on in the world, you'd think he'd be too busy. But every time I call, he's right there. knowing him is a priceless treasure. It's a priceless treasure. Paul was saying, my heritage, my accomplishments, that which I have spent my life building, I count as loss or trash, as nothing compared to the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of knowing Christ and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Paul knew what was really important. Are you hearing me? It wasn't his heritage. It wasn't his accomplishments. But he really knew God. That knowing was what was really important. It's really important, the kind of discernment and discretion that allowed Paul to see that nothing else mattered. His heritage didn't matter. His accomplishments didn't matter. That which he had spent his life building didn't matter. It all paled in comparison to the honor of knowing him. Verse 9. Philippians 3:9. And that I might actually be found and known as in him. He called you his own. You're in him now. Oh my goodness. What a priceless privilege. Not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One. The truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. Verse 10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Listen, Paul understood what was truly valuable, what was truly important, and that's to know him. Understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Paul said, my determined purpose is to know him. He goes on to say that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Verse 12. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, to grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do. It is my one aspiration. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Paul knew what was really important. It wasn't his heritage. It wasn't his accomplishments. It wasn't what he spent his life building. But what is important is really knowing God. He was able to extract what was really important from what was worthless. What was worthless? Everything else. by which he might judge his position or worth. Listen, the only safe place to build your self-esteem is on the fact that you are a child of the Most High God. It's the only safe place. Well, it's my superior intellect as a rocket scientist. A, who gave you that brain. But B, all it would take is one whack in the head for you to lose it all. Well, it's my beauty. And my good looks that define who I am. How many of you know you're in trouble? Hey, it ain't gonna last. God forbid one accident could leave a jagged scar across your face. Then what? Well, it's my business ability. I have the ability to buy and sell and trade. You wouldn't have the ability to come in out of the rain if God didn't give you that brain. It can't even be in a position. Well, I'm special because, you know, maybe you're married to somebody important or whatever. But how many of you know some people trade wives like they change their drawers, I started to say. That wasn't very nice, was it? Sorry. I edited it and then I let it come out anyway. I'm sorry. But, wow. Okay. But you get my point. The only safe place to put your sense of self-worth is that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And reality is, when you really understand what's truly important, it is the greatest thing in the world that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. He loves you, the King of the universe. He loves you. Paul was able to extract the precious from the worthless and decide what was really important. He had enough discernment to do that. That's a huge key to what I'm talking about. Knowing what's really valuable and precious and going after that. What is really valuable and precious? What is of lasting worth and value? You know, Pastor Mark made mention of it. We spend our life accumulating things. You know, we want bigger and bigger houses and nicer cars, and all those things are wonderful. But reality is, in the end, it's all gonna burn. It's all gonna burn. Somebody said, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. It's all gonna burn. Then what? Who was it? What is that man's name? Missionary killed in Ecuador. Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot said this: he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Invest in what is really important. Invest. Knowing what is really valuable and precious, going after that to the exclusion of other things that we hold dear that are not really that important. I want you to see what God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15:19. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Jeremiah was upset with God and he was complaining. He said, if you return, then I'll restore you, and before me you will stand. Glory to God. Even that sentence, before me you will stand. Oh my goodness. What an honor to stand confidently before the King of Glory. Before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. And then he goes on. But that one phrase, you need to extract the precious from the worthless, really jumped out at me. That is what God wants all of us to do, extracting the precious from the worthless. What is really important and what is not. Paul did that, and he did indeed become a spokesman for God. Paul extracted the preciousness of knowing him from the worthlessness of position and prestige and heritage. And because of that, he became God's spokesman. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Glory to God. I want us to go back to the scripture we prayed over each one of you last year. Lord, I got to hurry. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, this we prayed for you, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. That your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance with him and more comprehensive discernment of what is really important and what is really not that important. So that you may surely learn to sense what is vital. That word vital, according to the dictionary, means of the utmost importance. We need to learn to sense what is of the utmost importance and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, and that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. Verse 11, may you abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing which come through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to the honor and praise of God, that his glory may be both manifested and recognized. Glory to God. We need discretion and discernment to know what is vital, to know what is of the utmost importance, and then the courage to go after what's truly valuable, even if it means letting go of other things. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Listen, dude was walking through the field one day, and he stumbled across something that was so valuable. He had the discernment to know this is what's valuable. And it was so valuable to him. It was so valuable to him that he went and he sold all of his possessions, all of the things that he had accumulated in his life thus far, which weren't really that valuable. And he went and sold it and he bought that field so he could have that precious treasure. What am I talking about? I'm talking about turning in things that are not that valuable to go after what's really important. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is a merchant. He knows the value and the worth of a pearl. And he found a pearl that he knew was worth more than everything he had, but it would cost him everything. He went and sold all his possessions and went and bought this one pearl because he recognized its worth and value. So he was willing to give up the lesser to get the greater. What are you willing to give up to grab the greater? Your time, your TV, your internet. What is it? When you realize the worth and the value of spiritual things, when you extract the precious from the worthless, then you position yourself for great increase. on this Valentine's Day, I challenge you to try to outgive God. I challenge you to give to Him what is precious to Him, which is your heart, your time, your time. He wants to do life with you. He wants to walk with you every day. He wants to talk with you every day. He wants to be part of everything you do. He wants you to count Him as more valuable and precious than that TV show you're watching, than that hobby you've got. And when you start putting Him first and doing what pleases Him, then it makes Him want to do for you in return. It increases your capacity to receive from God when you extract the precious from the worthless. And then you go after that which is precious, even if it costs you some of the worthless that you really like. I know this isn't a terribly maybe female thing to say, but sometimes when I get stressed, I play video games. True Confessions of Pastor Rhonda. Yes, I said it. It's out there. Okay. I have a couple games on my phone that I play. And there was one game I was really enjoying. And I was playing this game, and I was playing this game. And I mean, I was like at level gazillion, you know, and I was really enjoying this game. And then I realized I was enjoying that game a little too much. And the Lord dealt with me about it. I know that sounds stupid. Anyway, I won't ask you how you deal with your stress. So you know what I did? I deleted that game off my phone as an offering to the Lord. Lord, you're more valuable and precious to me than this stupid video game. And if it's taken more of my time than you want it to, then I'm deleting it to honor you. As an offering, sir, it's gone. And I deleted it off my phone. What's taken your time? Let's try to outgive Him. Let's try to outgive Him. When you extract the precious from the worthless, then you increase your capacity to receive from God, and He'll meet you right where you're at. If you wouldn't mind, let's bow our heads for just a minute. Father, if there's anyone in here who needs to make a change tonight, if there's anyone, first of all, Father, who doesn't even know you, I would ask, Father, that you draw them by your Holy Spirit. Father, they truly do need to realize what's of lasting and eternal value, Father. The things of this world, they come and they go, they fade away, but you are eternal life. You are the eternal God, and you stand forever, Father. So, Father, we tonight, I want to give an opportunity to anyone who is not born again or who's been away from you to come back to God tonight. So, church, let's just all pray this together. If you need to come home tonight, or you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the very first time, I want to encourage you to pray this and to mean it with all your heart. And we as a church body, we're going to help you right now. Father God, we come before you in Jesus' name. And I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came to the earth and died on the cross to pay for my sin. Jesus, I know you did that for me. And I receive you as my Savior. And I make you the Lord of my life. And I believe you were raised from the dead. And you're sitting at the right hand of the Father this night. And I give you my life. I make you my Lord. And I thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name. And Father, for those of us who were already born again, on this Valentine's Day, we just want to say we sure do love you. Father, you're so good to us. You're such an awesome God. Thank you, just sir, for the honor of knowing you, for the privilege of knowing you and walking with you and you knowing us. My goodness, the value and the worth in just knowing you. It's incredible. It's valuable. And we thank you for it. Thank you for the gift of you. Thank you when Adam and Eve messed up that you didn't just leave us alone. You didn't just think they'll get what they deserve and walk away. But you love humanity. You love us so much, Father, that you came for us and you gave your son. And we're so grateful. Lord, we know there's nothing more valuable and precious in this life than the honor of knowing you. And Father, I think the more we can esteem that, the more we can realize how precious the things of God truly are, how valuable they are in comparison to so many other things that are not. I believe you increase our capacity to receive from you. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Honey, is there anything you want to add? All right, you're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday. Happy Valentine's Day.